Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we want to welcome you to Cowboy Church. What we got on store for everybody?
Well, I'm not sure what all we're singing, but...
Me either.
Probably some of you singing.
Hopefully I'll know by the time we get the camera on. Is that right?
So you don't have your list out. You just shoot from the up.
Yeah, shoot from the up.
There you go. When y'all first committed your life to Christ and started interested in doing ministry, and we started, we invited you to be at the church services with, I feel so silly saying this, but we invited them to be at the church services for you, and we said, make you a tape, so you get, you know, that was way back when you were making tapes instead of CDs, and it was about a year or so that almost everywhere we went, we shared services, and then all of a sudden y'all took off, and everybody wanted to have you, and we're so glad to see that.
Yeah, thank
you. And all the things that God's done for
you. Thank you very much.
And then you were nice enough that when this Cowboy Church started, you invited me to be a part of this. And I don't think I'd have had any influence at all if it hadn't been you.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Thank you, Russ.
I think the friends that we make really set the tone for our life. I just feel like if we understand why we have friends, that we really have better friends.
Yeah. We hope that this episode will encourage you to be a friend and for you to be the kind of friend that you would want to have. So sit back, relax. We're going to Cowboy Church.
When Jesus was on the cross, he was in between two men. They both deserved the death that they were fixing to receive. And one, he didn't recognize who Jesus was, but the other on the other side saw and recognized who he was. And he said, "Remember me." And Jesus turned his mercy and his grace on that man. This is a song about those two thieves. I never worked one honest day. I took my living from other folks' pay. I knew one day they'd catch up with me. Now they've nailed me up for the world to see. Now there's a man on the other side of this hill, and just like me, he was born to steal. Two common thieves must pay for their mistakes. Now our time has run out. All that's left to do is pay. But the man in the middle just keeps on giving his love away. And above the groans of his dying, he's crying, "Come live with me today." But still no one sees that he's who he claims to be. And the man in the middle keeps giving his love away. He never tires of giving that love away. Every man is a thief in some light. Stealing from God, now you know that ain't right. Taking his time, taking his name, taking his word, taking it all in vain. Every thief has a price on his head, but Jesus paid it all with the blood that he shed. He gave himself as a sacrifice. Now he stands in the gap between hell and paradise. And the man keeps on giving his love away. And above the groans of his dying, he's crying, "Come live with me today." but still no one sees that he's who he claims to be. And the man in the middle keeps giving his love away. Oh, the man in the middle just keeps on giving his love away. And above the groans of his dying, he's crying, come live with me today. But still no one sees that he's who he claims to be. And the man in the middle keeps giving his love away. The man in the middle keeps giving his love away. The man in the middle keeps giving his love away. Hey, hey, hey,
I knew I needed some help, and so there was a dear man, friend of ours that gave me a calendar keeping process and sent me to school on how to keep my calendar together. It was life-saving. And I started to go to the office every morning at exactly 9 o'clock, and I would work through my system. When you have trauma or grief, the synapses between those two sides of your brain actually tear. They rip into, you become ADHD. There's not a connecting point to the other side of your brain. About 3 months after the grief, there's a thing that begins to happen inside your brain. Your synapses begin to rebuild. And it's a great gift that God gives you in the middle of your grief. It was a terrible yet wonderful process. And now I'm really good in the office from about till about noon. And then I'm back to my old self again. Had I known that I could have retrained it completely, I could have been a full day office guy. But I cheated, y'all. I'm only good for half a day in the office. So, but the thing is I learned about how those synapses begin to work. And I begin to understand that if people don't begin to take charge of their life at about 3 months, in about a year, they are locked in to the thought processes that they've been practicing during those times, because as it is a gift, it is also a trap. And I don't know very many people who haven't lived through a trauma or two in their life. And I think sometimes without quality information, we end up trapped in our thinking. And most of us live with a certain amount of entrapment. And we have let ourselves get to a place where our thought process is virtually unabated and unchecked. And it completely destroys and devastates who we are. And the good thing this morning is I have good news. God is the one that created you. And God knows how to take you from where you are and reattach what's been torn and improve who you are. And it begins with our thoughts and it begins with our thinking. So here's some principles. The Word of God has to do with us. And I want to start by setting a precedence here. I want to tell you this, that circumstances should never define us. So many people are defined by the travesty or the circumstances that have happened in our lives. They should never define us. We can, by the power of God and quality inner dialogue, define our own circumstances. We can define what those circumstances make out of us, but it takes the power of God doing that.
So physically building synapses together is where we go with this. I have one other little item before we get into it all. And I'm probably going to have to take 2 weeks with this. There's so much on this inner dialogue business. Another thing that you need to be aware of, because God made you, when His Word talks about meditation, it has to be on His terms. The first thing that most meditation tells you is this: clear your mind. Now, I'm just going to say right up front that whole concept of clearing your mind is from Satan himself. And here's why it is. We're born into as a carnal man. Satan hates God and he hates you. He has no manners. And in our brains, we have this inner dialogue that happens. It's the devil and me. And it all sounds alike. God has to be invited to the conversation because he's a gentleman. You've read it, Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What that means is, I'm not coming in. I'm not going to join your conversation uninvited. You have to invite me. And see, when we have never accepted Christ as our Savior, when we have never invited him into our conversation, he's still out here waiting to be invited in. And if we never invite him in, we are destined for problems in our inner dialogue that will completely destroy our lives. We don't even need hell as a reward for our stupidity. We can destroy ourselves because we think incorrectly. We allow all kinds of things to enter our thought process. Our inner dialogue becomes such a shamble of sinful, harmful, hurtful garbage. Social media is a key tool of the devil himself. And the reason I say that is this: it comes in uninvited and it just fills with all kinds of garbage that offends and keeps you riled up. I'm going to tell you a little secret. People that are easily offended have mental problems. But those mental problems are caused because they have spiritual problems. And those mental problems can be solved by the grace of God, by involving God into your inner dialogue. So we begin building synapses the right way, and we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4 as a basis for how to build these inner dialogues. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praiseworthy, meditate. See that? Meditate on these. When they tell you in meditation you need to clear your mind, that's like false Christianity. Because when you clear your mind, the thing that's going to invade your mind is the devil himself. You don't clear your mind. You invite God to fill your mind. And when your mind is full, it doesn't allow the other stuff in. And if you're easily offended, what has happened is you haven't allowed God's thinking to come in. Because here's the truth. Most of the time, nobody intended to offend you. My dad used to have a bunch of old sayings that every once in a while I look at, I just laugh and I think the guy had so much wisdom. He used to tell this. He says, if you're worried about what people are thinking about you, you need to quit because they aren't. And the thing is, we get so caught up in what they said they meant this, and it doesn't matter if they tell you, I didn't mean that. Oh, yes, you did. You said this. I'm going to be offended. Because you're entering into a dialogue with the devil himself, and he wants to keep you riled up and messed up to where you can't overcome that kind of thinking, and that kind of thinking will cripple you for the rest of your life. The more you allow yourself to be offended, the more offended the devil is going to get you. He's going to make sure that you live in a spirit of offense. And they call it a spirit of offense because it's the devil himself. Now, I'm going to tell you how to listen to the right voice. All of the voices inside your head, they don't have tones like we do as regular voices. The devil sounds just like your thoughts. He sounds exactly like you think. Your thoughts sound exactly like the devil's thoughts. And an interesting thing, the voice of God sounds just like the voice of the devil in your head because it comes in forms of thoughts. And the only way that you have of distinguishing between the good thoughts and the bad thoughts is how grounded you are in the Word of God, so you can distinguish that's a God thought. Man, this is strong stuff. Guys, as I'm standing here preaching, the reality has hit me that when we understand how to deal with this inner dialogue, we're going to understand how to live in victory. And when we begin to understand how to live in victory, all of a sudden we're going to be able to get along with everybody. Everybody. Because God has a way of getting along. Look. Our family is one of the greatest places that we learn how to begin to negotiate this inner dialogue. You have Thanksgiving dinner and you have to invite everybody in. And so your inner dialogue goes, oh, Aunt Susie's going to be here this morning. So don't bring up Cousin Joe. Don't bring up the ex-husband. Don't break up how the grandkid, you're going to go on with, you just don't do that because you know that it's going to just wreck all the whole Thanksgiving dinner. But you have Thanksgiving dinner anyway because they're family and you love them. So you love them and put up with them. And the only way you can actually put up with them is by the grace of God, begin this inner dialogue that God so loved the world that he loves her. I don't know how. And see, instantly we slipped out of the good dialogue. See what I'm saying? But God so loved the world, and that's the part I'm going to hang my hat on. So here's a couple of verses that will help you with this. It says Philippians 2:5. You need to write this down. Philippians 2:5 says this: let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And how? How did he do it? What says that? You have to go look it up. I'm not going to spend time with you this morning. If that's offensive, you need to go look at the verse before. You could have so much fun with this, can't you? Colossians 3:16. It says, but let the word of Christ dwell in you. How does the word of Christ dwell in us? It's by the word of God. C.S. Lewis said this: God designed the human machine to run on himself. God designed you to run on yourself. Now, I don't mean this to be a guilt trip, but it's something to pause at. It says, if your life was a car and prayer was a fuel, how far would you travel today? I want to leave you with a verse of scripture. It's Revelation 3. I've already quoted it for you, but I want to read it all because I want you to hear it clearly now. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who hears my voice. You know how you hear the voice of God? Until you invite him in, this is all you're going to hear. You have to invite him in. Every morning you invite him in. Our Heavenly Father, come into my heart. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, what you're going to do is you're going to look at the Bible and go, I don't understand any of that. It's because you don't have the voice of God explaining how that works and how that means. Knock, 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 knock. Invite him in. If you have never accepted Christ today, this morning is a great time. Invite him in. You understand that the inner dialogue of your life is destroying everything around you. You need to change the way you think. The only way you can do that is by the power of God, who created you, who can restruct, reconstruct, deconstruct whatever the need is. He can redo your thinking, and you can begin to think the way that God wants you to think. And when you do, life becomes better. Actually, life doesn't change at all. But your thoughts are so much better that you begin to see God in all of this stuff where you used to see nothing but despair and calamity and all kinds of garbage. When you begin to see God in every move, your life changes. The circumstances don't change, but your approach makes the thing that destroyed you become the things that give you victory. And in the middle of the worst situations, you begin to see the hand of God, and you begin to see how God is in this situation and how God's going to work this situation for the good. He says all things work together for the good. Doesn't say all things are good. All things work together for the good. And the only way that that happens is because your inner dialogue has to be the right inner dialogue, or it never gets to your heart. So this morning, he's going to come in and he's going to visit with you. He's going to have conversations with you. He's going to converse with you. And the key, the word in the Greek is called koinonia. Koinonia is the fellowship that is enjoyed around food. It's the information. If you have kids, guys, if you want your kids to be successful, if you'll have one meal a day with them, the most successful men in the world only have one thing in common. They were raised where the whole family had one meal a day. And around the family, one meal a day, you learn how to do inner dialogue the right way, especially in a Christian home.
Hey, we hope that your life has been enriched by Cowboy Church today. That's our purpose. If you'd like to make some comments about Cowboy Church, we would love to hear from you. Write to us at the address shown on your screen right now. You can also email us. We get emails from all over the country. And you can contact us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you feel very, very strongly about keeping us on the air, we would appreciate your support. God bless you, and we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.
Anybody been set free this morning? All right. You've been set free from the bondage that we were born into. Praise God for that. Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from the sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. Well, he set me free, yeah, he set me free. And he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. And glory to